Murray Callaway County Hospital CEO Jerry Penner has headed the local healthcare provider for 2 years now. One of his main focuses has been improving quality of care. In 2012, MCCH was among Kentucky hospitals struggling with financial problems related to changes in the state's healthcare system. And Penner was recently one of five Kentucky hospital leaders who met with Governor Steve Beshear to discuss slow reimbursements and high claim denial rate from the state's Medicaid managed care organizations. Penner joins me to talk about how healthcare continues to change in our region. Thanks for speaking with me.
Oh, it's great to be here, Angie. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to talk to you and the local fans out there in WKMS.
That's right. And you said that you felt that Governor Beshear did listen to the hospital CEOs when you met with them. Do you feel that means that there will be changes to the MCO system?
Well, I think the real challenge here was he had to listen to what he was hearing. We were represented from CEOs across the state. That was anything from 25-bed critical access hospitals to the largest hospital of St. Elizabeth's with 480 beds. So we're somewhere right in the center of that. And the real struggle has been cash flow coming from our managed care organizations or the MCOs. Medicaid changed here in the state in November of last year, and we went to, rather than be a state-run organization or program, it became they contracted it out. So three managed care organizations, much like what they were doing with the Passport region in Louisville and the surrounding counties, became statewide. So three of those came in, began managing that, and one of our big challenges has been getting that cash flow from them for services that we've already provided. That was the main gist of our conversation, but there were a lot of smaller things that we discussed while we were in there with the governor. I mean, across the board, all five of us that were up there, and I also got to throw some support toward our Kentucky Hospital Association. They were in that room as well. So we had the president and they're helping us out with facilitating this particular conversation. And to the CEO, each one of us said the same thing. We're laying off personnel, we're closing services, because literally the cash flow is not happening here. Something we've relied on in the past. We shouldn't be fighting for state dollars. It's always been there for care that we're providing to the most impoverished folks that we have here in the community. We've always relied on that, and we'll be there to be able to help them out. All we want to do is be paid for that. So I think his brow was quite furrowed. He listened intently. He realized that we were serious about having to lay off, really stop. This is just anti-job market here. You know, we should have, healthcare should be a very secure place for any sort of community. And when your community hospitals are suffering because they're starting to lay people off, that has a tremendous impact. We're an economic engine. And for us to then lay people off because we're not cash flowing for things that we should be getting paid for, that's a tremendous challenge. And I think he did hear that message. What I think he will end up doing is talking with the MCOs and figuring out a way that we can make that cash flow happen for us. And if it's part of the negotiation process, if it's something he realizes that it could be damaging to a community if a hospital closes, then he's going to put a lot of stress there in that area. And I believe his supporting secretary for Medicaid also heard the same message.
And you mentioned layoffs. You know, you're referring to the 25 layoffs that MCCH recently had to do, as well as closing of a geriatric behavioral health unit, which had been one of the new services that the hospital was very proud to offer to the region. And offering new services and offering better quality care has been very important to the hospital here in Callaway County. Do you feel like in the future you're going to have to change your growth plan to, you know, I guess, come in line with the actual resources that you have? What's the outlook on that?
Well, I think the real challenge here, and you go back to the geriatric behavioral health unit, when you have cash flow out there, and it's going well, and I'll use the Medicaid example. I mean, we're somewhere between $2 to $3 million short for services we provided. That's a ton of money for a small hospital this size. And if I'm able to pay salaries for that and benefits for that, great, I'll do that. And if you have that cash flow, the hospital board can make a decision to opt to have marginal services. Or even some cases, you keep services that are, well, let's call them losers. Losers from a financial standpoint, but it's good for the community. It keeps your people, your patients, from having to travel multiple counties away or, you know, hundreds of miles away to get the same care they can get here. So you'll say, we'll hold on to that product line because it's important. And if you can no longer sustain that, then you say, well, I've got to cut the marginal services out. I've got to go with our services that are, for lack of a better term, profitable. Even though I'm a not-for-profit hospital, we still have to have a margin to operate, to pay those benefits, to pay those salaries. And if I'm unable to do that, yeah, you'll have to make some hard decisions. And we've had to do that. And unfortunately, the GBH, the Geriatric Behavioral Health Unit, 25 wonderful people, I had to stare in the eye and say, I'm sorry, I cannot afford you anymore. It's a painful thing, knowing that not only did you lose the people right around here around the holidays and their families, and that's impactful, but then going back to how it impacts the service line and how far people have to travel now to get that same sort of care. Those are the issues that are confronting CEOs across the state, because we just don't have the cash flow. And I hate to, in this case, it is all about money. We've got to be smart businessmen as well. The hospitals just can't operate without dollars.
So what are those core services that you really need to be able to continue to offer?
Well, I think from our perspective, you know, we have a very strong inpatient service, and that includes our medical surgical product lines. Surgery, we do fantastic. We run about 25 to 30% of the surgical volume here for the local five counties. So we compete very well with the folks up in Paducah. Our particular lines are general surgery, orthopedics. We do extremely well. Got another orthopedic surgeon that's coming in this summer. The inpatient line is always important to us. OB, obstetrics, gynecology. Those lines are very important to us because you figure you got 50% of your population out there being female. So we want to be able to take care of that population well. Pediatrics is another core business line for us as well. And emergency department, cardiopulmonary, those types of services we got to have here all the time, because I wouldn't call them routine, but they're really our bread and butter. They're our core. And same thing with anything on the medicine side. Internal medicine would be one of those that are pretty significant for our organization.
State of Kentucky recently got approval from the federal government to run its own state-based health benefit exchange system. And that's part of the healthcare reforms that they're coming to the state. And there's still a lot of questions. I mean, what is this health benefit exchange going to look like? How is it going to affect local hospitals? You know, how is it going to affect the overall healthcare system? And how many people are even going to use it? That's not known yet. Are there any expectations from, you know, you as a local small hospital, regional hospital, on how that might affect you?
Well, a couple of reasons. It actually scares me to death. And I say that from the standpoint, there are about half the states out there right now have basically said they're not going to start exchanges. Only five states that I know have been approved for the exchange. And again, by the time this airs, there are probably more than that. But I know half of them basically have said, no, we're not going to do the exchange, or we're going to let the government try to come in here, step in and do the exchange for us. What that means for our state, and we have been one of those that have been approved, the guesstimates right now are an additional 560,000 people that will be covered under some sort of a healthcare plan that they didn't have formerly. Well, that's a challenge. And it's a challenge from the standpoint of reimbursements. If they come up, we have been told that the reimbursements may be much like Medicaid. Now, if the Medicaid reimbursements are the same, or if that's the level, I can already tell you it's a losing proposition for hospitals and for healthcare providers out there, because we do not get reimbursed based on cost. It's not the cost of production for what we're doing. It's a much lower cost. Matter of fact, the average across the board is about 75% in the state. So we're already taking here in this hospital, we range between 15 and 18% Medicaid. If we pick up another population out there with the same level of reimbursement, we're losing money. And I can't see, it may be good for the state, and it may be good for the folks that are being covered by care, but hospitals will lose money. And you couple that with all the cuts we're getting from the Affordable Care Act, it spells disaster for healthcare organizations and for physicians out there.
And this hospital is one of the few hospitals that has the system where it is government owned, or is that the right language to use? Government owned or government managed?
It's very very different. We are one of 19 here in the state. There are 131 hospitals, and we are a city county government hospital, which is it's kind of unique. Most people, I love when they come up and say, well, you know, that's my taxpayer money at work, and I have to correct them and say, you know, we don't get any tax money from local patrons at all. So everything that we do here in this not-for-profit government city county-owned hospital is based on the revenues that we generate.
Is that a system that you think you can continue going forward with the changes coming?
Well, I tell you, the folks out there, the deep pockets, the large systems out there are trying to consolidate as much as they can. They'll gobble up small hospitals like ours that may have some financial challenges. I think it's a model that can work. Again, there are several hospitals here in the state that still operate independently. And when you're a sole community hospital, much as like we are, or I say sole community because there's no other competition here within the city of Murray, it sets up a really difficult challenge when you go through changes in governmental regulations. It sets up challenges for us when it comes to payers, saying how much money are you going to get. If we have a bad year, I don't have a mothership, basically, to go and say, hey, help bail me out. So that's why it's difficult for I use the Medicaid example. We had a very difficult time last year with cash flowing there. Maybe a system, a multiple hospital system, could have one hospital's doing very well. It could share in the wealth to the hospitals that maybe aren't doing so well. So, yeah, I mean, we are certainly in danger of potentially one time being gobbled up. But I think if we do the right things now and make the right moves and stick with our core businesses, we won't have a problem of doing that. It's always a fear out there, though. Mm.
And how do you create, I guess, confidence from your client base, your potential people who use your hospitals, when you have the competition coming from these larger hospital systems? I mean, Baptist Healthcare System is the largest one in the state, because they just recently acquired Trover Health Systems from the Madisonville-Hopkins County region, and now tons of hospital systems, including McCracken County as well, and with Western Baptist Health. How do you create confidence in a local small hospital when those have so many more resources as a large hospital system?
Well, that's a great question. I think part of the thing that you must do is you must provide the care, or you must provide the perception of quality that is equal to what you might see at a larger hospital. The big challenge is, you know, they can throw the marketing at you. They can spend $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 on ads and marketing. I had a ad last year, ran one little commercial, and I guarantee I wasn't near what they, you know, what the larger hospital systems could spend. But, you know, it was surprising what an impact that made. And people came to our facility, or if they see our ads in the paper, they're very confident in what they see. And I think it boils down to, one, the quality that you have to keep your metrics up, because now patients can shop online. They can go to a hospital compare and see how well you are doing against those hospitals. And I'm happy to announce we stack up quite well against the larger hospitals. In this case, bigger is not always better. We provide that hometown care here that people are very comfortable with. They like to stay in their own local area. It's good for their families. The families can come to them without having to travel several, 50, 60 miles maybe to go to another hospital. But it also gives them the confidence when they're met with a smile and they realize it's their neighbor that's taking care of them. And Murray's got an outstanding group of physicians. And we can rest on that reputation. And because of that, we'll compete quite well. If we ever lose that reputation, then obviously that sets us up for challenge.
Do you think in the future that you could maybe hire back those 25 people that had to be let go? You know, not exactly maybe the same position, but as far as hospital growth, employee base, do you think that that's an outlook in the future?
Well, I think it all depends on the volumes. You know, we've got to be as smart as we possibly can here. We just did a strategic planning session, and we have for like a last 6-month period to put a facility master plan in place. And had some corporations come in and run some numbers and figures for us on where we think we're going for the future. And it did a couple things. It just didn't look at, well, it looked at our demographics for sure, but it also looked at the environment, at the healthcare environment. What are they going to be reimbursing us for? What do we think are going to be like with the different trends for surgery, for different outpatient surgeries, inpatient patient stays, lengths of stays, the impact that we're having from all the governmental regulations? What's that, is that going to do to us? And we actually found that maybe we don't need 152 beds here anymore. Maybe 105 is probably the number. I mean, we contract a little bit more. So the real answer is we have to be as efficient as we can. Will we ever hire those folks back? I'd love to be able to do that. They were loyal to us before we had to lay them off. We'd love for them to be loyal to us again. Maybe not in that product line, but it's all based on volumes. If volumes are really, really good, we have good inpatient volumes throughout. We have a lot of surgical volume. We have outpatient volume where it needs to be. Sure, we'd love to have those folks back to us again because, again, they were loyal to us. If we have a year like last year, the real challenge was we didn't have a flu or pneumonia season. And our volumes across the state were down, I think across the state it was down about 12% inpatient, and we were down 11.38 or so. So we were pretty close to what the inpatient decrease was across the state. Why? Just didn't have the volumes. Some of it governmental, but this was one that was really environmental. So we'll just have to see how healthcare continues to drive us. I do think our numbers will probably decline up until we figure out what the Affordable Care Act is going to do and what the final impact is going to be on it, both Medicare patients and what the exchanges are going to do, and just overall governmental oversight, because there's a whole lot of it out there.
Murray Callaway County Hospital CEO Jerry Penner, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Angie, thanks so much for allowing me to be here with you today, and I hope I get a chance to do this again sometime.